The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome to the Bible Study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for joining us this morning. We are back live in studio today. If you will allow me just again, personal note of thanks to Pastor John Lukomsky for sort of at the last moment taping yesterday's Bible study so that I could attend a funeral. And, you know, it is the grace we extend to one another that makes this a day, a time that is just bearable to get through. So thank you again, Pastor Lukomsky. You're a good soul. We appreciate the extra work you went to the other day so that I could attend to some personal business. But this morning we welcome back a very familiar voice, someone who's known to very many people around here, especially people in my household who were quite big fans of the program Moments of Assurance. Pastor Mark Hawkinson, our guest today on the Bible Study. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. How are you?
You sound just as good live as you do on tape.
Oh, yeah, or dead. Yeah, it's just as good live
now,
as dead.
Wait a minute.
I know what you mean.
That was supposed to be a compliment. I guess it didn't come out right.
No, it did. Just having a little fun with it there. That's all.
Yeah. So how goes everything? It's a wonderful program you do for us here every day at noon. And then a little bit on the weekends as well.
Yeah, it's going well. It's always a pleasant challenge to be able to rise to the occasion of doing the show every day, and I couldn't enjoy it more. That's all I can say. Couldn't enjoy it more. Very, very rewarding and a privilege. There's the word, privilege, to be able to serve the Lord with... You know, you get to the waning years of life, and you get to be my age, it's waning. It's not waxing anymore. You know, there's a difference between waxing and waning. Wax goes up, wane goes down. So I'm in the waning, the other side of life right now.
You are? Yeah.
And that's okay. Sunset years are full of cheers. Believe it or not, there are some cheers in the years that are sunset. It can go down, but you don't have to. You can stay on top of things. And by that, I mean on top of your circumstances. You know, I walked in the studio a little bit earlier. We shared a few personal things there. And, you know, a person must rise above anything of a negativity sort of nature, because otherwise the devil steps in and attempts to convince you that, you know, things aren't as positive as what you are trying to convey.
Absolutely true.
But they are. They're really more positive.
Now, working under the thesis that no good deed goes unpunished, you do such good service for us. What do we do to you? Almost 50 verses. Almost 50 verses for one Bible study.
What did I do to deserve this? I mean that positively. I mean, what did I do to get such a blessing? That's how I meant it.
Really?
Such a blessing as to be able to be able to share a message like this as this, you know, competition between Rachel and Leah that goes back and forth. And you know what? Let's put the text together in a nutshell and say, isn't it interesting how God uses people who are sinners, who use deceit, who aren't above board, and who lie and cheat, and he still uses them, and it kind of makes a person feel a little bit better that maybe the Lord could use and is using you mightily as well, and you and me in different ways, and each listener tuned in to the program today, how the Lord uses and selects people that you wouldn't think he'd select.
As we look at each other.
How can he select you? Yeah, that's right. There must be some kind of mistake here. The Lord goofed.
Well, thanks be to God for such opportunities. They are wonderful.
They are.
Let's begin with prayer, and then let's eat this elephant one bite at a time.
That's the way to do it. All right. Gracious God in heaven, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for this blessed Lenten time of 40 days of looking at what you've done for us a little bit more closely, perhaps in the rest of the year. Thank you for this text from the book of Genesis. As each listener tuned in can see the just the selfishness, the greed, and yet the plan. The plan goes on despite or in spite of individuals. And thanks, Lord, for letting your plan go on and your son coming back someday when we least expect it. Look forward to that. And until that time, I expect, Lord, the blessing of your blessing to be able to communicate. And Roland expects the same today. In this Bible study, we claim it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. 505-780-50, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. That's the email address if you want to get in that way.
That's a really neat email address. I like that. It's easy to remember for the listener. I think it's great. Yeah, it's good.
And try that iTunes app. That's another way to get to it. Yeah. You can stream and write to us at the same time.
I have to wait until June 1st to get my iPhone.
You got to wait for the contract to run out.
Yeah, that's right. I have to wait for the contract. So and then you get one for 89 cents, I think. Isn't that what it is? Or 98 cents?
You could. Maybe even a refurbished one. I'm a big fan of refurbished products.
I agree with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, you know who could use a little refurbishment here is this cast of characters in Genesis chapter 30.
I was just going to say
I am becoming frustrated with this text because I am reading this and I'm saying to myself, this is the best the world has to offer at this time? Really? Yeah. When you talk about all the discussions that have been had over the centuries about piety and Christian living and doing the right thing.
Well, the promise came through Abraham and his seed, but I mean, Abraham was at one time an idolater. What can you say? The Lord uses such unusual people to accomplish his goal. But you know why he uses unusual people? So his grace will shine forth.
Ah, okay. Now, discern something for us here, Pastor.
I'll try.
When it comes to the family life of Abraham and Isaac and now Jacob as presented before us today, is God intentionally, seemingly setting up these conflicts between these people for some greater purpose, or do these conflicts take place and then God uses them to his greater purpose?
Well, I think it could go either way. And I think sometimes it does go either way. And I was thinking the same thing in looking at this text. My goodness, I mean, it's just, this is so 2012, if you want to know the truth. This sort of, rivalry between, sisters, between family members, it's not anything that's unusual. What continues to amaze me is how God still uses situations and does take, just like you said when you gave me the two choices, choice number two, he does, his grace shines through, he's able to use these people in spite of themselves.
Picking up verse 31, we finish up chapter 29, just four or five verses, and then we get right into chapter 30. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren, and Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. She conceived again and bore a son, and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son, and said, now this time my husband will be attached to me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. What a sad and tragic life, you might say, for this poor woman Leah.
Well, yeah, it was. And yet, what the amazing thing is that these are the formulation of the 12 tribes of Israel. My goodness, you would expect that the 12 tribes of Israel would come from this elite stock of virtually sinless individuals who are model examples of piety and goodwill and good nature. What you see is so much of the bad nature of people coming out here. You know what this says to me? This authenticates the scriptures to me. Because if the Lord can allow all of this to be written, you would think, now, if the scriptures were not true or they were all forgeries or made-up stories, well, then it would seem to me that everything would be, you know, just in perfect form. But that's not the case. Here you have all these, you know, almost evil-sounding people. To me, it just shows that the authenticity of the scriptures.
In your opening comments, it sounded a little bit to me like you were taking the three uses of the law and applying it to this: curb, mirror, and guide.
Yeah. And they do apply, because obviously the Lord is chastising Jacob a little bit here for his deception that he had for the birthright, from the deception that happened earlier. Now, instead of getting Rachel right away for his wife, he has to serve another year, another 7 years, for his uncle Laban. And even after that, Laban isn't really willing to let him go. So he wants to go back. He wants to leave Mesopotamia. He wants to go back to his own country in Canaan. So all this deception and all of this. I think Jacob, I do believe that he, you know, the old saying, what goes around comes around. And I think that basically is what, and then Rachel herself was not sinless in all of this, despite even with her competitive nature and her sinfulness of you know, just wanting to have even more. She recognized that she had, well, she was an idolater herself. She clung to the deities of polytheism. So, you know, I mean, everybody has a problem in this text. Everybody does.
You associated how almost contemporary this text is for us. Perhaps you might refer to Rachel as a high maintenance wife. Takes a lot of attention. A lot of
Certainly she does.
And there's Leah. Leah's just out there.
Yeah, Leah seems to me, if I could picture her more laid back, and it seemed like Rachel contended with Jacob a little bit and say, come on, give me some children. And Jacob says, who am I? Am I in God's place? You know, yeah. I'm not in his place here. So so there was a reason why Rachel was barren for a while. But then, of course, she did have Benjamin and... and Joseph. She had Benjamin and Joseph.
Now, to that point, we have recorded here at the end of chapter 29 the birth of Reuben, the firstborn to Jacob.
Right.
But Reuben is not the most important one, as we will see as we continue through Genesis.
No. As you continue, you see that ultimately Jesus Christ is what... I mean, this is all about Jesus Christ, lest we forget. And that's easy to get all wrapped up in all the characters here. But the promise goes through Abraham's seed. And ultimately, Leah, who has Judah. Leah is the mother of Judah. And, you know, Judah means one for whom one praises God. That's the meaning of the name Judah. And through Judah, Jesus came, through the tribe of Judah. So it's kind of exciting to see, you know, how the Lord works, and in his own time and in his own way, the promise is fulfilled. So, you know, I got to give God credit here, because you have to give him credit for everything. But for weaving together these stories, that and they're true stories, these are real characters that really lived, and you and I can identify with some of their antics and their conniving, I like the ending of the text today. We'll get to that when we do, but about the sheep and everything. And
now, what a way to start chapter 30. Just again, if I was writing this, if I was creating something out of
envy.
This is not the way I would write about
these
great founders of the church. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, give me children, or I shall die.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, so in other words, let's get to it here.
All right, now, this is a recurring theme that I demand be examined almost daily on the program here. Envy, hatred, jealousy, covetousness, sibling rivalry. Is this any way to run a plan of salvation?
Well, you and I aren't running it. See, that's the joy of it. You and I are not running it. God is running it. And His will be done, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. It's going to be done. This is what we call a covenant of divine commitment here. A covenant of divine... This is not a human obligation covenant. This covenant that God gave to Abraham, that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him, ultimately is a covenant that God goes through with. And despite, or in spite of all of the human contention that goes on here, I think what the Lord is doing is he's letting you and I see that, you know, these people really, you know, struggled. They had difficulties. They had hardships in carrying out this plan of salvation for God, and it wasn't all neatly ordered like a computer today. A computer, you get on the computer, everything works, you hit the return button, everything works perfectly most of the time, not all of the time.
But Mark, they keep reinventing the wheel, as we're going to see here in a couple of verses.
Well, haven't you ever heard the phrase, history repeats itself? It kind of does a little bit. It's kind of a trite saying, but it's true. I mean, it goes on and on. And as you go through the entire Old Testament, you see the children of Israel. What they do is they'll sin. They repent of their sin. God blesses them. They sin again. God, you know, chastises them. They repented their sin. Then God blesses them. And you know, this is the way it was throughout the 40 years of...
But how many times does Jerusalem have to be destroyed before they go, maybe this ain't working out so good?
Well, I, you know...
You think once would be enough.
Well, no, actually it was destroyed again. That's right, in AD 70. But again, that's, you know, that's the result of sin. It's the result of a lack of trust, a lack of faith on the part of the people of God. So, you know, sometimes you have to, even though there's forgiveness, you have to bear the brunt of the result of sin and the consequences. That's the word I was looking for, consequences of sin.
So explain this exclamation on Rachel's part. Give me children, otherwise I shall... Is this just a rant? Is this her just sort of henpecking her husband? Or is she perhaps threatening something here?
Well, she's desperate. She has a desperate desire for children. And she's forgetting, of course, that it's the Lord who provides the blessing of children, not her husband. Were it not for the Lord and for his blessing, and this is part, of the carrying out of this covenant, this thread, this golden thread that goes through from Genesis 3:15 on, Genesis 49:10, the scepter will not depart from Judah. You know, that covenant of divine commitment is going to be there. Rachel forgets it. Jacob forgets it. Everybody forgets it. God lets things happen to remind them of him, that it is his blessing that supplies the children. And when they remember that, then the blessing of the children, then they're no longer barren, and they get the kids.
Well, it seems to me that with Abraham and Sarah, and with Isaac and Rebecca, God is involved in this, hey, I'm barren, can you do something about this?
Mm-hmm.
Rachel isn't crying out to God. Rachel's going to her husband and going, hey, buddy, it's your fault. But if you look at Leah, I mean, physiologically, if you look at Leah, it's not Jacob's fault.
No, it isn't. I don't know what to say except this, you know, that I wasn't there at the time. I'm not sure regarding Rachel, but you know, she does remember. It goes back to Adam and Eve. You know, not me, Lord, the snake. I mean, the husband whom thou gavest me, you know. You know, Eve blames Adam, and we've played the blame game throughout history.
Well, now you're talking and, modern times, my friend.
Yeah, now that's right.
It's everybody's fault.
It's everybody's fault. Thank you. That's good. I like that. I like that real well, because when you look at Good Friday, when you look at Jesus Christ dying on the cross, whose sin put Christ on the cross? Yours did, and mine did, and everybody. And the amazing thing, I know this is the Lenten season, and there's a worship service after this, I think, on KFUO here.
11 o'clock, yes.
Yeah. And just thinking about, it wasn't just the agony of crucifixion, but it was the agony of bearing all the sins that you've ever committed, that I've ever committed, or will commit, plus every person in the whole world who's ever lived or ever will live all at one time. And that's unimaginable. It's not a man. Yeah.
Jacob's response is also very interesting. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?"
Yeah. You know. Yeah, wait a minute. Put yourself in Jacob's place here. He's a man.
Yeah.
Men are masculine.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. What are you saying? I'm not. You know, a good enough man here? What are you trying to imply here? So, he's indignant.
Exactly.
He gets angry, and that anger, you know, and so, you know, so it says Jacob's anger was kindled. So, I can just picture Rachel making, this is a husband and wife, you know, husbands and wives do argue from time to time. And
yeah,
so, they blame one another.
So, when you get to verse 3, then she said, "Here is my servant Bilhah, go into her," we won't go into the Hebrew on that one.
No.
Maybe young listeners. "So that she may give birth."
On me.
You know, if more Lutherans knew Hebrew, oh my goodness. "So that she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children." So she gave her servant Bilhah to, as a wife, and Jacob went. This, I can see Jacob. Okay. All right. I'll show you.
You want to do that? That's right.
See, because if he were a forthright man, would he have said no? Should he have resisted this?
No. I think God allowed this. I heard one theologian one time say that God winked. He winked at things like this. Not that he approved of having the men having sex with other the handmaids and everything, but he took her as a wife. That's what the scripture says, as a wife. So God did permit these things to happen at that time. Later, it ceased. It was put an end to. But you know, civilization was still young at this point, and so this was allowed. It was permitted under the circumstances. So, and then of course Rachel, she gets in the act, and then she gives her handmaid to when she's barren. She gives her handmaid to Jacob, and then they have children with her handmaid. So they're going back and forth and back and forth, and who can outdo whom here? You know,
and this is going to grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
But compare as we go through this, Rachel's response. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, Rachel's response as well as Leah's response to these children being born, because Leah's first child is born, and she says, "Because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me."
Well, yeah. See, Leah knew that Jacob favored Rachel.
Yeah.
So Leah figured, if I have enough children, by that, then Jacob, you know, will love me more. And that's what, because, you know, it says in where our text started, it says that Leah was hated. Excuse me. That means that she was loved less.
Yes.
Love less.
So now Bilhah conceives, bears Jacob a son, and Rachel says, "God has judged me and has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore, she called his name Dan.
Dan, right. God has judged me. And so, you know, she figures that she's vindicated here a little bit in this situation.
Now, maybe I'm reading a bit much in here, but this is what you Lutheran pastors have done. You know, looking for the law.
All we do is read into things.
That's right.
That's our job, is to read into things. Don't you know that?
Yeah. The law and the gospel. We've got about a minute before we go to the break. It seems to me that Leah's first exclamation is about mercy. God has been merciful to me. And Rachel's is about law. God has judged me and given me a son.
Well, I really think that word, you know, judge there is in the sense of being vindicated, that God has come through for me in
one
this
is an
case.
Act of mercy,
yeah.
One is, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, and so.
Because these things will get a little more interesting as more and more of these children are born to these. Again, very contemporary text today. One man, children by four different women. You are so spot on, my friend, when you said that at
amazing.
The start of the program today.
Yeah. It's human, and it's the way it is, and God blessed it. And that is just an indication to me of just how valuable, how reliable the scriptures are that we have today. They're true.
And that we don't learn lessons very easily as
no,
well.
No,
505-780-1800-730-2727. Our very good friend, our dear friend here, Pastor Mark Hawkinson, for Moments of Assurance, our guest on the Bible study this morning. As he mentioned, don't forget, coming up at 11, live midweek Lenten worship from Peace Lutheran Church down on Barracks View in South St. Louis County. We have more Bible study to go, lots more Bible, about 40 verses more Bible study to go as I count it. We'll be right back after the break. This is a great time to call in. Why don't you do so?
servanthood is a core value of Concordia Seminary. To be a servant is alien to so many people in our society. Even some clergy take on authoritarian airs. But Jesus, Son of God and Lord of all, came as a servant. We want Concordia graduates to model servanthood to their congregations and to their communities. Servanthood, that's the Christian way.
During the season of Lent, KFUO Radio will broadcast live midweek worship services from Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County. Be listening Wednesdays in Lent at 11 in the morning for these special broadcasts. Pastor Dennis Kastens will be leading the worship. Lent is a season of preparation so that we all may better appreciate the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. KFUO Radio will assist in your preparation. Be listening for our live Lenten worship broadcast Wednesdays at 11 a.m. on KFUO Radio.
AMA 50 KFUO is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling, with a showroom in the Mid-County Trade Center, 8463 Delport Drive. Reliable Heating and Cooling features Lennox air conditioning and furnace systems and services all brands. Reliable also provides senior discounts. Reliable Heating and Cooling, serving you from North, Mid, and West County exchanges. The next time you call Reliable at 423-3535, please thank them for being an AMA 50 KFUO underwriter.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? You mentioned last week, when we were talking about holy baptism, that Martin Luther instructs us to use our baptism daily. It signifies that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and again, that a man may daily come forth and arise. The daily contrition and repentance is our topic for today. St. John reminds us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what are these sins? Martin Luther put together a prayer of confession we could well use as we awaken every day or go to sleep at night after we have done or not done all of these things. I confess before God and you that I am a miserable sinner, guilty of every sin of unbelief and of blasphemy. I also feel that God's word is not bringing forth fruit in me. I hear it, but I do not receive it earnestly. I do not show works of love toward my neighbor. I am full of anger, hate, and envy toward him. I am impatient, greedy, and bent on every evil. Therefore my heart and conscience are heavy, and I would gladly be freed of my sins. I ask you to strengthen my little faith and comfort my weak conscience by the divine word and promise. St. John continues, my little children, I am writing these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's pray about this. Lord, today, we need to see in those around us, especially those we do not love as we ought, people who you love yourself. Help us to forgive those who trespass against us as we have first been forgiven by you. For we pray in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer and Advocate. Amen.
Good morning and welcome back to the Bible study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Pastor Mark Hawkinson is in the hot seat today as we have quite a bit of text to cover here in chapter 30 of Genesis. It does play out a bit like a soap opera, doesn't it, Mark?
Well, sure. And just like a soap opera, you don't really know how it's going to turn out till you get to the conclusion of it. And you and I are going to get to that conclusion today and see how, despite these circumstances that seem so wrong, God still is able to accomplish his will, and how true that is in your life and mine.
The servant that Rachel gives to Jacob, Bilhah, has yet another child, and his name is Naphtali. And then Leah, this is what I like when you jump down to, we have to jump through some of this text so that we can get it all in today. But when you get down to verse 9, Leah sees what's going on with Rachel and her servant, and she says, hey, me too. Mm-hmm. There you go. There's the world today. Mm-hmm. Me too, me too. When Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took her servant Zilpah.
Very competitive.
And gave her to Jacob as a
yes.
wife.
Yes.
Yeah. This poor guy. My gracious.
Well, he was, to say the least, a busy man with all the maids and everything that's going on here. And
thanks be to God, I can have only one wife.
That's right. One is enough, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. Oh, no, I'm not saying. No, yeah. That's one is wonderful. Let's look at it that way. And because if you had
I'll say based on this, one is enough as well. I'll go with that.
You're making that comparison. I understand. Yeah. I understand completely.
And then that servant bears a son, and his name is Gad. And then she bears another son, and his name is Asher. And then in verse 14, we get to this really strange exchange between Rachel and Leah. Now, Reuben, apparently, picking up at verse 14, is out, doing what I guess good sons do, and that is the tasks their mother assigns.
Yeah.
And beginning at 14, in the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went out and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, it is a small matter that you have taken away my husband. Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? Rachel said, then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes.
Now that seems like a strange sort of thing, doesn't it, when at first glance? Yeah.
Especially when you consider she's not the first wife, and she's not the firstborn of the daughters, and not necessarily the one who's in charge of anything. Then Rachel said that he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes. Does Rachel have the right to barter her husband's time to be very protective of little ears that may be around?
I think she can do anything she wants to, and that's what she's doing here.
Now, isn't that pretty arrogant?
Well, there are people today, that is the nature of people today. In the business world, you see this all the time. I see it in the business world as well. It's dog eat dog. People get what they can get out of a situation. They'll even take your job or your situation or your life from you. If they can take it, they'll take it. And that's sin. That's the sinful nature. And that's what's going on here. What's somewhat amazing to me is that, Rachel wants these mandrakes, and she's willing to let Leah lie with Jacob again another time for them. Mandrakes were thought to be, their roots from perfume, that make perfume, and they're thought to be of an aphrodisiac. They're thought to be aphrodisiac. So perhaps Rachel felt that if she could get the mandrakes, that this would be, or act like an aphrodisiac to lure her husband more on her side. And so some of that might have been going on as well.
So she's going to drug her husband.
Yeah, that's right. Well, sort of, I guess. Oh. Look at it that way, I suppose you could.
who was the ancient Greek philosopher that walked around with a lamp looking for one honest man?
There weren't any honest men. That's gracious. The problem.
When Jacob came from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in to me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he lay with her that night. And not once do we see in the text Jacob saying, now, wait a minute.
No, and that's a good point that you just made. Why not? That's nobody knows. I don't know the answer to that either. I don't know why
not. It makes you wonder, going back to the order of creation, just who's running this family? Who is the head of this family?
Well, see, that's just it. I think, you still have the masculinity issue involved here of Jacob and... I've hired you for my son's mandrakes, Okay, well, no, I don't think so. Tell you what, Leah, I've got other things to do here. He didn't have, what are you going to do? There's no television, there's no internet, there's no iPhone or iPad.
Yeah.
What do these people do all the time?
You can only brush the camel so often, that's right.
I mean, they had to make a living, and they went out in the wheat fields and they garnered wheat or whatever they did in the fields there. But, again, you have an ego, and Jacob had to have an ego, so sure.
Yeah.
Leah,
These repeating themes, I marvel at this, because if you go back to the very beginning, you have Eve being tempted by Satan, and Adam is just kind of, he doesn't so much as go, now, wait a minute. He doesn't do that.
Now,
here you have Jacob doing the same thing.
Because Adam was lured into it.
Yeah.
Lured into it. I mean, I'm not, you know, specifically blaming Eve for that. I mean, it's just the way it kind of worked out. But that's sin for you. Sin is like an attractive magnet that once you get too close, the two magnets, you know, connect.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you want to try to avoid that connection.
It just strikes me, Pastor Hawkinson, that so much today of the trouble that we experience in our culture comes from the fact, like you're saying, men can't stand to be men and fathers can't stand to be heads of the household. We've come to a point in our culture
right.
where we concede these things, sort of like, you know, if...
That's true.
You know, if I hear any of these things coming out of the mouth of my wife, I think I'm going to... Now, wait a minute.
You would think so.
No, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We don't
yeah.
do that here.
Exactly. I think that's the only thing you could do. And you know, you would say that to your spouse. I'd say it to mine, mm-hmm. too, to your wife. You're a dear wife. But, however,
yeah.
this is not our modus operandi. This is not how we operate here in this household. But that's not the way it worked here. And the amazing thing is that golden thread of the covenant relationship continues to be woven despite as the world turns here, this
yeah.
soap opera scenario that's coming out.
So at verse 17 it says, And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband. So she called his name Issachar.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, you know... She's building a case for herself here
yeah.
with all these children that she considers this to be sort of like, you know, brownie points or scalps, the Indian scalps kind of thing. I'm getting up all these children.
Little works righteousness, perhaps?
Yes, exactly.
Little theology
yes.
of glory, perhaps?
Yes, yes, that's a very good, very good point. I think she was... very much into that theology of glory. She had forgotten the promise. And frankly, amazing thing is, forgotten about God sometimes. And like you and I do. And then when you and I start giving ourselves the credit for what we do, the Lord has a way of notching us down. And I get notched down. I'm sure you do from time to time. And I recognize, whoops. This day is not being blessed. Number one, I didn't start it with prayer. Number two, I didn't open my scriptures. Number three, I'm starting to run my own life, and I'm not asking the Lord to bless anything. So, and by the way...
Yeah, and then something happens, and we turn around and go, why have you done this to me?
Yeah, you know, and sometimes you just have to bear the consequences of your own stupidity, not yours, mine. I'm just talking about,
believe me.
You know, that's how it is. So
I will show you the scars on my body just from the elbows down
yeah.
of all the stupidity that I've performed since my youth.
Oh, gosh.
You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to write enough books to come up with it.
You know what? Go ahead and use that vice grip like a hammer because the hammer's too far away and this will be faster.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sure, sure. It always works out in the end, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Leah conceives again and bears a sixth son, and his name is Zebulun. And then, just as a footnote, afterward, verse 21... she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah.
All these sons,
and then finally a daughter comes along.
By the way, the word Issachar, I did look that up, that means reward.
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 Ah, you see,
yeah.
I have done well.
Zebulun means dwelling. Dwelling.
Dwelling.
Yeah, that's the meaning there, I believe. It's kind of a play upon a couple of words there, but it kind of fits into the whole thing that... my husband will dwell with me now, maybe, Issachar, reward,
so. So what are we up to now? We're up to how many? Eight, nine? We're up to about ten,
I
right?
haven't even counted, yeah.
About ten sons,
ten.
One mm-hmm. daughter.
There were 11,
yeah.
and, right.
Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son.
And he did. Later on, he adds Benjamin. Later on.
And that's
right.
number 12.
Right.
Why is
that's
that number important for us to start paying attention to now?
12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples, apostles. You know, it's a number that we just compare with the Old Testament being fulfilled in the New and the completion, the full number of the Israelites today is all believers in Jesus Christ. That is the full number of all the Israelites. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but one who's been, as St. Paul wrote, and to the Romans, circumcised in his heart. Mm. So that heart circumcision is what makes you a true Israelite.
Now, the ESV says, God has taken away my reproach. Other translations say, God has taken away my shame.
Yeah, they kind of the same thing. What was being held against me has been removed. That's the way she looked at it, because she's not barren now. She's able to have, children with her husband instead of, going to the handmaid and asking the handmaid to do what she wanted to accomplish. So she's getting the blessing now, and punishment, reproach, however you want to look upon it, has been taken away.
This may be really an extreme oversimplification, but ultimately what all this has been about up to this point is Rachel needs something to feel good about.
And she does. She does feel good about it. Well,
because the servant's sons don't seem to satisfy. Now finally she has one from her own.
That's right. Well, that's right. And it is very satisfying. And, of course, the scripture indicates that Jacob loved Rachel more. And so,
wow.
I don't know why that in itself wouldn't help to satisfy Rachel when you think about it. If she knew, or she surely knew that, since there was so much rivalry that took place between Leah and Rachel.
Are we not always about building bigger barns?
Of course. Of course. That's society. Except when you get to be 64. I just had a birthday recently, and you know what? The Beatles song, When I Get Older, blah, 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 when I'm 64.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your life starts taking on a little bit of a different nature, and if I'm going to build any barns now, it's going to be for my children and grandchildren, not for me, because I'm not going to be around that much longer. So barns that are built, I want to build them for other people besides me. But generally speaking, I think what you say is true.
Let's go to the phones here. We have callers lining up for you, Pastor Hawkinson. Let's go to Beverly first. Good morning, Beverly. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I was thinking more about the Beatles song. Was that the Beatles? That wasn't the Beatles. That was the Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction.
The Rolling Stones. Oh, yes. You know, from 1965?
Yeah, these people in the Old Testament, they could get no satisfaction. I don't care what God did, or said.
I can't get no satisfaction.
They couldn't get no satisfaction.
No, that's right.
And that's why they ended up the way, things ended up the way they were. Going back to Jacob and his wives and all, I was visiting a Jewish temple. I don't call it temple. What do you call it when you go to the Jewish
synagogue?
Mm-hmm. Huh?
A synagogue.
Yeah, I was at the synagogue, and he was talking about Jacob, and he was putting Jacob up on the pedestal and saying how smart he was and on and on.
But, not all the time.
Yeah, I don't care how smart you say a person is, or if you take these people out of the Old Testament, you say, oh, she was so beautiful and he was so smart, then you start reading further into the text and find out that they weren't as beautiful and smart as they seem to be, and so you're not supposed to put these people up on the pedestal.
That's right.
You're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God. You're supposed to praise the Lord, not praise other people.
That's right.
Beverly, thank you for the call.
Right on, Beverly. I don't think it could have been said better.
You know, that struck a thought in me, and then we'll go to Rick next here in just a moment.
Okay.
But as Beverly was saying that, we are commended to be careful, because Satan presents himself as an angel of light.
He does.
Something beautiful, the morning star, right?
That's right.
Magnificent, something that would really attract your attention. But yet God doesn't seem to be using, like Beverly was saying, the beautiful, the standout.
No.
It's always...
No.
So maybe this is a way that we can understand the true from the false.
I think that we can, and we can empathize and identify with these biblical characters. They're not, as Beverly said, way up here on some sort of a pedestal where you can't even relate to them. You can't even figure out where they're coming from. These biblical characters, you can figure out where they're coming from because you've experienced some of the same emotions and some of the same struggles. And I think that's exactly why God permitted all of this to take place the way things took place.
It's a way of discerning that it is actually God that is acting and not...
That's right. And that's a good point, Roland, because otherwise you and I would not discern that. We would think it were the people involved. But no, it's obviously God doing it.
Or we would chase after the beautiful, the shiny thing that distracts
us. That's right.
Us.
We would think that that's what counts to God, but that's not true.
No. Which is why...
That they don't count. I'm not saying that, but you know what I mean.
A poor, miserable sinner confess...
unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee. And every sin that you and I commit is an offense to God.
Commission,
that's right.
And yet...
And no mission.
he doesn't use... Look at me, Mark. Does he use the beautiful?
Well, you're a handsome guy. What are you talking about? Sure you are.
This is, be honest, you're a pastor.
Now, each listener needs to go to the KFUO website
and take a
look at Roland's picture.
You will see
that he's a good-looking guy.
Wear dark glasses if you're going to do that.
He's very humble.
Let's go to Rick. Rick, good morning. Come on and join the fun.
Good morning, gentlemen. This has certainly brought up another question that I didn't even have calling in with. I read those verses earlier this morning too, that Satan can disguise himself as the angel of light, that his servants can parade around as a righteous one. And then when the Lord says, there's going to be those people that say, Lord, Lord, and that are not going to enter in.
That's right, Rick. There are going to be some people that say that, and they're not going to be able to enter into heaven.
And they performing what we would think is the Lord's work, for a layman to witness somebody. They say, you'll know the person by their fruits. Well, if you see something happening that they said or what they might be preaching, and things are looking... what I'm getting at is the discernment that it's going to take for an individual to really know what is of the Lord and what is from this angel of light. The original question I have is, with this battling with Rachel and Leah and their handmaids, is when all the children are born, why we don't see their same attitude like Sarah had. No, this lady and her children are not going to live with my children. We don't see that here, and I wonder if you ever thought about that and why we might, where Ishmael had to leave, but these children are accepted as part of the family.
Well, yeah, that's a good question.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that would have to go back to that golden thread and the promise that was made, the covenant. the covenant relationship, and this is the result. These children are the result of that covenant relationship. And these are the ones that are entering Canaan, and through Judah, the tribe of Judah, would ultimately come Jesus. So, I'm not sure I really can answer that as far as why some didn't leave or some did, but they kind of stay together, don't they?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Rick. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Enjoy this wonderful... I'm looking out the window. Boy, it's nice out there.
Yeah, but he's right. He used the term discernment, and he says, how can you discern what is of the Lord and what is of the angel of light? And what is the answer to that? Well, God's word is the discerner. And
We have sword and shield and...
the different parts from Ephesians 6. Yeah,
The armor of God is what we're supposed to put on.
That's right. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to take your stand against the devil. For we're not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, even in the heavenly places. So that's why it is a dangerous thing. You have to be careful. Every day, the devil is doing everything possible to try to take you away from this Bible here that talks about his promise. And Don't let that happen.
Now, time is short. You're going to have to do, you know, quick work here, as we don't have time to read the balance of chapter 30 under the heading of Jacob's prosperity, but, you know, Jacob wants to leave. Laban likes the fact that he profits from Jacob being around, and then they work out some sort of a scheme with goats and spots and stripes and sticks and watering. What? Where's the theology in that?
Well, let's put it this way. Jacob took care of himself here. He took care of himself so that the spotted and speckled sheep and cattle, whatever, that they would be his, and he mated them properly so that when they went to the water trough and they had these peeled off pieces of whatever, bark or whatever you call that, the molted portions there, that somehow or another, I do believe God performed a miracle, and they did multiply. And the others, the weak ones, he just let multiply on their own, and Laban got those. So he, you know, Laban got that, but Jacob took care of himself so that he got all the spackle. And, you know, and Laban, he wasn't such a nice guy here. He went through the flock, you know, Jacob said, I'm going to go through and I'm going to take away and separate the spotted and speckled.
Yeah.
Well, then it turns out that even Laban did that as well. He went through and then gave them to his sons. What kind of a guy is that Laban?
Now, the more you learn about Laban, maybe you understand why Rachel was sort of the way she was, because there is this one verse here in verse 27. But Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. That's conjuring up spirits and seances and tarot cards, that kind of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's not, God did not approve of divination. And so this is not something that he should have been dabbling in at all. There is no divination. There's no, don't ever get involved in anything like that.
And these
are
Abraham's people, right?
That's right. And,
oh, okay.
And I'm sure if there were Ouija boards at that time, that he probably would have tried to play around with one of the Ouija boards, you know. And of course
it's just a game.
Has a Ouija board, burn it. Get rid of it right away. Burn it. That's not something you should be fooling around with. That's right.
No. And our text ends up with, thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels.
And this is what Jacob did. Jacob was true to his vow, his agreement that he made with Laban, that Jacob would take the spotted and the speckled sheep and so forth. But he was shrewd. And there's no sin in being shrewd. It's good stewardship to exercise a little bit of shrewdness there. And, of course, the Bible says to be innocent as doves and to be as shrewd as snakes. And so, indeed, he was shrewd in this situation, that the way he set it up, that he would be able to benefit. And so and God blessed his shrewdness, his smartness there, I guess you'd say.
Pastor Mark Hawkinson, our guest this morning on the Bible study. A lot of ground. You did very well today.
Well,
thank you.
With a lot of ground to cover,
hey,
that's right.
We have a few seconds left. You do, on occasion when invited, have a KFUO Sunday where you come and preach a congregation. How can folks
get
in touch with you if they'd like to do that?
They can just, best thing to do is to call Joni here at the station at 800-844-0524. Or they can email me if they're interested at hawkm@fidnet.com. Love to talk to you about it.
Well, you know, if you enjoy Moments of Assurance weekdays or on the weekend, and you enjoy Mark Hawkinson on the Bible study, invite him to come and preach for you.
I'd love to. I'm going to be at St. Charles Lutheran High School Tuesday morning at 9:30. Going to preach there Tuesday morning, 9:30, St. Charles Lutheran High School.
You might find some fans wanting autographs.
There you go.
You know where to find him. Coming up next, live Lenten worship from Peace Lutheran Church. Stay tuned.
We thank you for listening to the Bible study on KFUO Radio. Underwritten exclusively by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, now featuring online learning through iTunes U. Visit csl.edu for more information about Concordia Seminary. Stay tuned. Ask the Pastor, coming up next, Hour 2 of the Bible Study on KFUO Radio.